Hello listeners and welcome to State of the Union, your weekly breakdown of all things Scottish independence. I am your guide, Stephen Payton. The date is Friday the 3rd of December 2021. Let's get started. Kicking things off, there's been a poll, and boy, it has been a while since we had one that was worth talking about. According to the latest Ipsos Mori poll for STV News, support for Scottish independence is now sitting at 55% with Don't Knows removed. That would suggest that should a referendum be held tomorrow, the result of the 2014 referendum would be functionally reversed. It is certainly the highest support for yes that we've seen in a while. And for that reason, it is, as always, worth being cautious about until we see it replicated elsewhere. But this could mark an interesting moment. The polling data also revealed less than stellar news for unionist politicians like Boris Johnson, whose approval ratings in Scotland have now hit a record low. Emily Gray, the managing director of Ipsos Mori Scotland, suggested that the rise in support for independence may have come about as a result of Johnson's behaviour in recent weeks, particularly around how he has handled corruption allegations and second jobs for MPs. And I do think, actually, that the Tories are a pretty good argument in support of leaving the UK. While it is true that governments come and go, the Conservative Party and politicians like Boris Johnson are, unfortunately, a product of Britain's political class system. And while the administrations change, the structure remains. Regardless, the idea that the constitutional question has been laid to rest is still patently a nonsense. Not only does support for independence remain higher than it was in 2014 and has done so for quite some time, this recent poll also found that Scots themselves rank it to be the second most important issue on the go, coming second only to the NHS. Though apparently, that's not good enough for Conservative MPs like Jacob Rees-Mogg. Earlier this week in the House of Commons, SNP MP Pete Wishart raised the poll results and noted that the Scottish people are looking at this corrupt, sleazy cesspit and they do not like what they see. They are quickly determining it's time to get the hell out of this place. To which Rees-Mogg responded, he wants to bat back and forth opinion polls, and I know even SNP supporters don't think having a referendum on independence is very important. Okay. I am not sure how you interpret the issue of independence being the second most principal issue in Scotland after the NHS as meaning that folk don't think it's very important. But this is the same man who considered having his live-in nanny cut his hair during lockdown, so he can hardly be regarded as someone with much understanding of the real world. The poll came just a few days after the SNP's autumn conference, in which, unsurprisingly, independence was a topic of discussion. Speaking at the conference, the First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, claimed that a new Scottish independence campaign will begin in earnest next spring ahead of the 2023 vote. Addressing the conference, she stated that, next year, COVID permitting, as we emerge from winter into spring, the campaign to persuade a majority of people in Scotland that our future will be more secure as an independent nation will resume in earnest. In the course of next year, I will initiate the process necessary to enable a referendum before the end of 2023. Okay, so, 2023. It is definitely possible, but the SNP has promised so many summers of independence and campaign relaunches at this point that it is really impossible to take any such commitment to a campaign seriously. Not until we've actually seen some proof that it is underway and that steps toward the 2023 referendum really are being taken. A failure to deliver now would mark for certain the end of Sturgeon's time as party leader, I have no doubt. Now, to be clear, I am not in that minority camp who thinks we should just hold a referendum tomorrow, regardless of if the right groundwork has been done or if we've even made the winning case. It was never going to be a sprint, but more of a marathon. And some politicians and activists have certainly used this time between referendums to build antagonism toward the SNP's party leader and the party itself for their own ends, making odd claims about the SNP no longer caring about independence just because it has taken longer than they would like. I believe it was right to set aside independence to deal with the pandemic and to take the time needed to get this right, but I am still extremely sceptical of whether or not next spring will really see the start of a new campaign. And finally, this week, an interesting piece of news from the SNP party conference, which took place last weekend. The conference has overwhelmingly backed the party to bring forward a draft enabling bill to create a Scottish central bank. The idea being here that, with the bill ready to go, it could be triggered on day one of an independent Scotland, thus making the move to our own currency substantially faster. This would be a move to get Scotland away from sterling as soon as possible, because if we wait until independence, it will take longer to get to that point. The currency union plans were seen as a bit of a disaster during the last referendum, and this may be the route to having a stronger argument come the 2023 referendum, should it happen then. But that does bring us to an end this week. So, with all that said, where does that leave the state of the union? Like hearing grown adult Jacob Rees-Mogg talk about his nanny, kind of unsettling. See you all again next week.